So the last verse of the passage from John says, no one has ever seen God. So is that true? Well, it depends on your definition of see. We do talk about where and how we see God, maybe not a physical divine being, but we see God at work. God has made God's self known in different ways throughout time and continues to do so today. And that's at least part of what this gospel tells us. In the Hebrew scriptures, like the story of Moses that we heard, we see that Moses wanted to see God. He outright asks to see God's glory, but God says, you cannot see my face. So Moses asks again to see God's glory, and God says, this will be done. And so later, Moses goes up to the mountain alone to get the second set of commandments, and he gets his wish. God descends on a cloud and stands with Moses. And then the Lord passed before him and proclaimed that the Lord is a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Moses went to get the law, and those commandments are one way that God has made God's self known to us. But when Moses goes to do this, we hear the Lord speak and say that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. These are pretty rich words used to describe God. In Hebrew, the words for steadfast love and faithfulness are chesed and emet. Those are two words that my Hebrew professor rarely translated into English because he just couldn't find anything in our language that did these words justice. Chesed is mercy, kindness, goodness, steadfast love that won't let you go, and so much more. Then emet is equal in depth and is often translated as truth or faithfulness. And in any language, these words mean more than the sum of their letters would lead us to believe. These are words that our Lord uses to describe for self-description and identification to Moses. These are ways in which God is experienced and seen. Moses and the Israelites saw God whenever they experienced God's chesed and emet, God's steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, not only did the Israelites know God through the law and the experience of chesed and emet, but they also saw God when they wandered in the wilderness. God promised to be with them, to guide them by day with a pillar of cloud and by night with a pillar of fire. And God hovered over their tabernacle, their big tent, and God's glory filled the tabernacle as they made their journey. For as much as Moses wanted to see the face of God, we know that he did see God in a variety of ways. Just as God was present with the Israelites in the tabernacle, we see that further on in the story, God chooses to tabernacle with God's people again. John 1, verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and lived among us. The King James Version says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Greek word for what God did would literally mean that God tabernacled among us. I appreciate Eugene Peterson's modern interpretation in The Message, which reads, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We can relate to that, right? Better than tabernacle or dwelt. God chose to become human and move into our neighborhood. Rather than stopping with a presence known in the law, God became flesh and set up tent in the neighborhood with us. The verse continues, we have seen his glory full of grace and truth. And this echoes those words that Moses heard, that God is full of steadfast love and faithfulness and truth. This time it's grace and truth. These words are rich and deep too. We know that grace is always undeserved. And this incarnation is an act of pure love and free choice on God's part. It reminds us of both our own helpless poverty and of God's limitless kindness, of God's chesed. And now we have the embodiment of Emmet, of truth. We are visual people, and we need images to help us understand things, so we've got Jesus. If we want to know what truth is, if we want to know what God is like, we have a living, breathing image right here in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the one who, at the crossroads of life, shows us the way, who, in moments of difficult decisions, enables us to choose right. This is what we find in Christ. It is where we find Christ. This is how the Word made flesh is made visible to us. And though we have not seen Jesus face to face or flesh to flesh, he left us his Spirit. We don't have clouds and fire in which to see God. We don't have the historical Jesus to meet in the temple or on the streets anymore, but we still see God. Moses and his people saw God in steadfast love and truth. According to John, we have seen the glory of God, the Word made flesh, in grace and truth. So what does that look like? Seeing must mean something more than just one of our five senses. For us, it's not going to look like a baby in a manger or a mountaintop tablet handing over kind of moment. As John says, we see God in grace and truth. And so it also has to do with discovering God's benevolence and reliability. And if we think of it this way, then I think we can recall times when we have seen God. We have seen it in a friend sitting at the hospital bedside so the spouse could work to keep some stability and routine in the family. Sometimes when we pay attention, we see God transforming our no's into yeses and our yeses into no's at the right times. Often we see the face of God in the hospitality shared through punch and cookies, finger sandwiches, deviled eggs, and cheese straws at funeral receptions. In The Color Purple, Alice Walker's beloved novel, we meet a woman named Celie, and she is beaten down by life. She has been despairing of ever knowing the goodness of life. And then she meets another woman with a very different view of life. And this woman encounters God in ordinary ways, not just on mountaintops, in burning bushes, or in bright lights. And she transforms the way Celie looks at the world around her. Later in the story, Celie tells her sister that God gets pissed off if you walk by The Color Purple in a field somewhere, and don't stop to admire the beautiful flowers God has made. Celie learns to recognize and see God in ordinary things and in extraordinary things like The Color Purple. So how have you seen God? Perhaps you've seen God in ordinary and extraordinary ways, and maybe you've missed seeing God too many times. Perhaps you only recognize that it was God in hindsight. Today is the day that we celebrate Epiphany, the time when we usually tell the story of the Magi following the star. And the word Epiphany is really about seeing. It is about when Jesus, the Word made flesh, was made manifest to the Magi from the east. And they followed the star to find Jesus, to see God. And as we think about the incarnation, the birth of Christ, and God moving into our neighborhood, we can also think about where we see God in our neighborhood, where God is made manifest in our world. We, like Celie, can learn to recognize and see God in ordinary things and in extraordinary things, like The Color Purple. We can tune our hearts and minds to recognize and see God whenever and wherever we see God's grace, mercy, and steadfast love. So keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your hearts open to experience and receive God's presence. For the God whose glory was shown to Moses on the mountaintop, the same God who became flesh and moved into our neighborhood, continues to dwell among us today. May we have eyes to see and recognize that gift. Amen.